Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Spellman, and it's a pleasure to welcome you to my show today, What Women Must Know. As always, this is a great opportunity to get more insight and depth of knowledge about topics that are really necessary for your health, your well-being, your own unfoldment. And I am so pleased that you are with me today. As always, I have a very inspirational guest and a show that I trust will have a profound impact on you and the perception of reality that you live in and how to change it. Before we go there, I just want to be sure everyone is aware that I have a wonderful website called What Women Must Know that offers you special reports, articles, videos on a variety of topics that are really critical for your health and well-being. All you need to do is go to What Women Must Know, opt in there, and you'll get the special report sent to you automatically along with a variety of ongoing information and education. Certainly, you even get these radio shows sent to you. So get empowered, get educated. That is really the way we can allow our life to really work the way we want it to work. And while you're going up on the internet, go to my Facebook page, What Women Must Know. I do postings every day, and that is another great place to keep expanding your horizons. I post a variety of articles, information, sometimes some recipes, sometimes inspirational messages. But essentially, the point is to keep providing you with truthful information that can truly make a difference in your life. So go check it out. Go like me over there at What Women Must Know. Okay, so have you ever had an experience where because of a serious health challenge, perhaps a serious professional challenge, issues going on with your family that you just felt were beyond the ability to reverse, to repair, to heal? Have you ever felt that place where you were so low that you thought there is no way that I can find any light at the end of the tunnel? Well, that was the situation of my guest. So I'd like to introduce all of you to Baba Ram. Baba Ram was a former network news correspondent whose career was abruptly ended due to a broken back and failed surgery. Declared permanently disabled, he was heavily medicated and confined to a body brace for 7 years. Years later came a diagnosis of stage 4 throat cancer, and the prognosis was that survival was not possible. On the brink of death, Ram left Western medicine, detoxified from all medications, and found mind-body medicine. Through the sciences of yoga and Ayurveda, Ram healed himself, totally, I may add, and now devotes his life to helping others reclaim their inherent power to achieve profound self-healing, overcome life's greatest challenges, and find their authentic voices and manifest their fullest potential. And he is the author of a new book called Warrior Pose, How Yoga Literally Saved My Life. It's an inspirational story. It's a story that is a great allegory to the powers we all have to heal and repair and regenerate even conditions that are considered irreversible. That's what I love about his story, and that's why I'm so pleased to have you on the show today. Welcome, Baba Ram.
Well, thank you, Dr. Selman. It's fabulous to be alive, and it's so nice to talk to you today.
You know, I am sure here you are at this point in your life, and looking back at everything you've gone through, I'm sure there was a point in your life you never could even have imagined you would be where you are right now and impacting the lives of so many people around the world.
Well, that's so true. There was a time in my life where I really lost all hope and I didn't know where to turn. And I think a lot of people in one way or the other find themselves in that circumstance at some point in their life. And fortunately, through a host of circumstances, I was able to find mind-body medicine and the deeper practices of yoga and Ayurvedic medicine. And I was able to heal, and it taught me that everyone has a sense of hope, that we all have an opportunity to maximize our healing potential. We just have to have faith in ourselves, and we have to be willing to make the changes that are always required for that healing to occur, because when we are suffering, whether it's emotional or physical suffering, and those usually come together and feed one another, it's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call from what we might call our higher power or from the forces of nature that we're out of balance and that we need to make significant changes in our life. And had I not finally understood and heard that call and made those changes, I don't think I'd be here talking to you today.
So let's frame your journey for those that don't really know much about what your past was about. And by the way, I do want to congratulate you on your book, Warrior Pose. I thought it was an absolutely riveting read and so inspirational. So I just wish you all the best as you spread the word far and wide.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. So let's just talk a bit about your past. And specifically some of the, the path you chose as a journalist, as a war correspondent, actually, and seeing some of the worst that humanity can do, and what happened to you, what contributed to some of those really serious life-threatening conditions that you encountered on this journey through life?
Sure, I would love to share that with you. I came of age in the 1960s during the Vietnam War and the Civil Rights Movement, and I had this really strong desire back then to make a difference in the world and to speak out against injustice in my own way. And I found myself getting into broadcast journalism, working in a small television station in Northern California, then working my way up to larger news organizations, always focusing on investigative reporting and ultimately to international reporting with NBC News. I had been in Afghanistan in 1986 with the Mujahideen up in the mountains with the freedom fighters when the Soviet Union had occupied that country. And I confess that I was an alpha male with a capital A. My mantra at that time, my motto was, I'm going to work longer and harder than anyone else. And I always pushed to the front lines because this career identified who I was, and it really gave me a platform to make positive change. For instance, when I came down from those mountains, I went into the horrid refugee camps along the Pakistani border. Some 5 million Afghans were in those camps out of a nation of 15 million people with horrific injuries. I focused on a little boy that you met in chapter one of the book named Mahmoud, who had napalm burns all over his body. Ultimately, I was able to raise funds back in New England. I lived in Boston at the time from our viewers after they saw the reports, and bring a number of those children to New England for burns treatment and eye surgery and prosthetic limbs. And so again, I really felt that I was making a difference in the world, and this completely defined who I was. Shortly after Afghanistan, I took a rare vacation down to the Bahamas, to a tropical island, to sun myself and to relax. And on the final day, a big storm came up, and I had visions of a hurricane, and I was battening down some storm windows, and I fell off a ledge inside the house in a vaulted ceiling, trying to close one last little window, and landed on the back of my spine and hit really hard. I thought I might die right then and there because I couldn't inhale. And it seemed like it took a half an hour before I could finally breathe in. And then I decided to crawl into bed, and I couldn't move my legs. It took me another 15, 20 minutes of laying there. And I had no pain. I think I was in shock and I was numb. Finally crawled into bed and passed out and got up the next morning, and the pain was unbelievable. My whole lower back was on fire, and it was going down my legs and my arms. But again, I was that type A person, and I just gritted my teeth and pushed forward, and actually did that for 7 more years. But hiding a terrible secret as I went through the Persian Gulf War and worked throughout the Middle East and drug wars in South America and apartheid in Africa, that I was in pain, and I was hiding it all the time and chewing more and more painkillers and drinking more and more alcohol every night just to get away from this monster in my back. really, honestly, scared to death that if I stopped for a moment, I was going to lose my career. I was going to lose that momentum that I had. And finally, in 1993, I was in charge of all of Asia for NBC, and I was in the Philippines, and I was sitting in a chair viewing videotape with my editor. And I leaned in to the screen to look a little more closely, and I had had a hairline fracture in my lowest vertebra, and it split open and started to impinge on my spinal cord, and I hit the ground moaning like a feral cat. And doctor came and shot me up with morphine. I was flown back to San Diego, where I live now, and had major back surgery on my lower back. And as you said in your introduction, that failed. And I took up life in a body brace, and the pain was worse, and I was on more medications, and I drank even more to escape from the pain. But what I was really running from was that I had lost my identity. I had lost this thing that defined me, this career that gave meaning to my life and definition to who I was, and I wasn't able to handle it. So I became a master of anger and fear and denial and self-pity as the years went by, scared to death that I had no future, that there was no way out. And then I had a little boy born, my only child, just before 1998. Despite the fact that my marriage was difficult, I can't imagine what it was like to live with me back then. He was the light of my life. He became everything as I withdrew more and more, but 3 months after he was born, I was diagnosed with that stage 4 cancer and told I wouldn't live for 2 years. It was from exposure to depleted uranium used by American forces to pierce Iraqi tanks in the Persian Gulf War. It started in my throat and had metastasized into my lymphatic system. That made me darker. Heavier medications, Vicodin and Valium and morphine and Prozac and Ritalin and a host of other drugs that I can't even pronounce. And I ballooned up to 225 pounds, about 50 pounds more than the weight that I was as a news correspondent, and became darker and darker. And then just before the year 2000, my marriage was basically ended. My little boy was the only person that I was not a monster to in my life. And he came to me and finally realized that something was really wrong with his daddy. And I was always lying on the couch in my body brace, very hard for me to get up and do much with him. And he finally got it in his own little two-year-old way. And he stared right into my eyes and said three words that I didn't realize at the time would change my life. And those words were, "Get up, Daddy." It literally hit me in a place that I didn't know that I had deep inside of myself. And I thought, well, how can I do this? I'm leaving this boy's life. I'm failing him as a father. There's no way I can get up. And this mantra, "Get up, Daddy," just went through my mind for 2 or 3 weeks. And I finally decided with my extended family that I needed to get off all these medications that had made me so dark. And at least one day somebody could tell my little boy, "Your daddy died with dignity. Your daddy tried to get up." So I checked into a hospital here in the San Diego area, Scripps La Jolla, and I detoxed cold turkey. 7 or 8 dark nights of the soul, and I can report to all your listeners as a former journalist that all the demons in Dante's Inferno, they exist, because they were in that room when I was detoxifying and withdrawing, and it was really quite an experience looking back. When I came out dazed and confused and in more pain than ever because I was no longer on the medications, the doctors offered me an opportunity to enroll in a brand new experimental clinic with ancient Eastern healing modalities and modern Western holistic techniques. I didn't even take time to understand what that meant and said, "I'm in." It was like a lifeline to me. And then my very first day, I was given biofeedback, where they hook you up to a number of sensors for your brain waves and your skin temperature and your heart rate, and played an audio tape for me that was a very soothing visualization, like a guided meditation. And I could feel my inner chemistry change. Like 10 to 20 years of pain tension just rolling off of me and leaving my body. And I realized for the first time since I had started that ascent into the abyss of my suffering that I could play a role in my healing, that I had some power that I didn't know that I had. And it was that moment that started this turnaround journey for me.
You know, that is, it's such a powerful story, because up to that place, everything that you'd been doing in your life was really based on your ego, your sense of identity and achieving in the world, and the pain and suffering that came from a body that was so deprived of true healing energy, true nutrition, using drugs to try to medicate your existence and survival in the world, everything that was further contributing to this powerful, toxic disconnect from yourself.
That's so true. I had to say goodbye to the alpha male, to the broken alpha male. A few weeks into the programs there, I started therapeutic yoga, and I had never done yoga before. And as a somewhat cynical, jaded foreign correspondent, the idea would have seemed like complete nonsense to me earlier. And I had a second epiphany. I walked into the yoga room, and I just knew there was a voice inside of me that said, this is it. And I embraced it like a lifeline with great fervor. I started reading a lot of books and realized that this ancient science was incredibly a rich and complex approach to healing in body, mind, and spirit, with aspects of nutrition and lifestyle and diet and meditation and a whole host of sciences to go with it. And I started delving into that, again, having this inner knowing that this was really going to help me, that I finally could take charge of my healing at the same time that I released all these old agreements about who I was. And a month later, the clinic closed. The insurance companies would not reimburse the hospital for the patient care. It was far too expensive for the patients to afford. They closed the doors. Several of the patients who I knew well despaired. One of them that I had special fondness for committed suicide. And I went home and took an office room in my home and built it into I called it my little yoga cave. And started practicing in there and started applying all these modalities to myself. I became complete vegetarian, a vegan vegetarian, no dairy products at all. And I started fasting for long periods of time. My body weight over 2 years went down 80 pounds. I called it organic chemotherapy. At the same time, I was becoming more flexible and balanced in my body with these restorative yoga postures that I could do a little better at every day or every week and get a little stronger as I enhanced my flexibility. And the most important piece perhaps was that surrender. I realized it took great courage to let go and to surrender the need to control outcomes, to just give that up to my sense of higher power, to have a sense of faith in the journey that I was on. At the end of 2 years, my back was healed. I have no back pain. My level of physical flexibility was beyond anything I ever dreamed. I honestly felt 20 years younger, and I was cancer-free as I am today.
You know, I think I really want to emphasize the condition you were in so people really understand this profound transformation that your body, mind, and spirit went through. Because, I mean, it's hard to imagine how someone in a body brace could do yoga. So maybe we can just help people understand how you began the process of yoga. Because, you know, you do amazing postures now. People go to your website, which is Deep Yoga. Is that the best one to send them to, deepyoga.com?
Sure, deepyoga.com or bhavaram.com.
Okay. So if you go to the website, you see yourself doing these amazing postures, but people need to understand you started with a failed back surgery that put you in chronic pain, that had you in a brace that went from, what, to your knees up to your chest?
Mm-hmm. The brace was removable. It strapped on, and I would take it off at night to sleep. And I started taking it off more and more in the yoga therapeutics at the hospital. And it was very, very gentle, just lying on your back and trying to get your legs up the wall and breathing more deeply at first. And by the time I left there when the clinic closed, I had let go of that brace. I was vowing to no longer wear it. And there were times in this journey that it was extremely difficult for me. And every time it got difficult, I would just close my eyes and visualize that little boy. I was, you know, just wanting to live for him, and it gave me a sense of power. And I would say to myself, get up, Daddy, get up, Daddy. And I would just go further. I found that when I relaxed deeply, I released a lot of the physical pain. And when I relaxed deeply, my body began to open more, and emotions began to depart. When I actually started thanking the pain as a catalyst for my own personal transformation and thanking the cancer, things started to really take off for me. Now, it was slow. We're talking 2 years, and I was practicing maybe 10 to 12 hours a day. All these practices of fasting and meditating and yoga postures and breathing and harmonizing my life more with nature and less with all of the fast-paced, stressful aspects of our life with mass media and television and the internet and noisy cities. So I was calming myself down on every level and maximizing my capacity to heal. And at the same time, trying not to force an outcome. Just doing it every day, doing it every day, and doing it every day. And the outcome finally arrived.
And you were primarily doing this on your own, correct?
Yes, I was. I, you know, was reading quite a few of the ancient texts, the more ancient texts of yoga, which may be unfamiliar to many people, like the Hatha Yoga Pradipika and the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali and the Bhagavad Gita, and culling wisdom from them and putting it into context with modern mind-body wisdom, such as that from Dr. Emmett Miller, who wrote the foreword to my book. It was his voice I first heard in that biofeedback room at the center in the hospital, and he and I are now great friends and colleagues. So he westernized a lot of this intelligence as a pioneer of mind-body medicine in America. So I was looking at both those aspects and integrating as much into my life as I possibly could. And I know it sounds daunting, 10 to 12 hours a day, and a lot of people aren't willing, you know, to do something like that or aren't in a position to do something like that, which I understand, but I was dying, and I had a broken back, so I needed extreme measures at that time. I have found now, in working with a host of clients with back pain or heart disease or facing cancer, that anyone who starts to embrace change and to really believe in themselves and to alter their lifestyle in positive ways, as I'm sure you've experienced in your practice, healing starts to happen no matter what. And whatever their maximum healing capacity might be, they're going to find it if they stay with it.
You know, this is why your message resonates so deeply within me and why I think it is such an important message to take out into the world, because in our culture we are given edicts by our doctors. We're told that something is incurable, that you're going to have to live with this for the rest of your life, you're going to have to be crippled and incapacitated, you're going to have to go through toxic treatment, you know, just the whole gamut that our culture pushes upon us. It's our cultural context. We don't have, as a culture, unless you are a deeply spiritual person, a roadmap to get you to a place where our unlimited self lives. And truly in that place, anything can be healed. And that's why your story is so exceptionally inspirational, because if anyone had reviewed your situation, your case, they would have just put their hands up and wished you well and sent you out the door to die.
Basically what happened to me. Just as you've said, and you put that so well, with so much clarity, what you just shared. I call it cut, burn, and poison. it's been the traditional Western paradigm, surgery and radiation and pharmaceutical medications, cutting and burning and poisoning. And I know there are cases where pharmaceutical medications are important. I know there are instances where Western medicine is remarkable and helps many, many people. But all too often, it is just sustaining system that is predicated on maximizing its own profits and disenfranchising the patient from their own inner power. And it's really unfortunate, and a lot of people are suffering as a result. As I'm sure you know, even the Journal of the American Medical Association reports that over 250,000 people die in America every year as a result of our medical system, from botched surgeries and overprescribed medications and infections in hospitals and things such as that. This really is a health tragedy that we're facing out there. But again, we feel disempowered, and we aren't taught that we need to make significant lifestyle changes, and we're culturalized, I think, not to want to make those changes. You know, we want to go on and live the lifestyle that we have with the peculiar habits that we have in our life and yet not suffer the consequences. So maybe we eat pepperoni pizza all day and jalapeno peppers and drink a case of beer, and we wonder why we have an acid stomach, but instead of being told, well, you have to change your diet, they give us a purple pill. Mm-hmm. And we just mask the symptoms, and then some other illness arises as a result of all that toxicity.
So let's just bring everyone up to speed before we take a break. So you had this dedicated time of healing that you literally went inside your cave, literally, physically, to access your healing power. How long did that process take you?
It was 2 years. 2 years of total devotion to that. About a year in, I realized that I had mastered the back pain. I realized that my body was now strong and flexible enough that I could cope, and that when those episodes of pain arose, that I could relax into it. And I had this toolkit, this holistic toolkit I could use with meditation and relaxation and restorative yoga poses that would make what could have been before a 2 or 3 day pain episode, a 2 or 3 hour pain episode. About a year and a half into it, I started to realize, especially when I started losing so much weight through all the fasting and the veganism that I was doing, that I might surprise all the experts and not die of cancer. I started to have an inner knowing about that. And at the end of 2 years, I could say I literally crawled out of my cave. Although I was clearly coming out some of the time during then, I was going to the bay for sunrise and the beach for sunset and getting harmonized with the rhythms of nature. But 2 years later, I knew. Still, however, I practice every day. I get up before sunrise, and I do about an hour of yoga postures and breath work, positive visualization and meditation every morning, and at least 20 times a day, I tell the alpha male that he's got no place here, and I give up that ego again and again and again, because I think that's a lifetime journey.
And I just want everyone to also understand that not only were you dealing with a broken back and failed back surgery and chronic pain that had you in a brace for 7 years, then you had that diagnosis of incurable cancer from exposure to depleted uranium when you were in Iraq, I guess that's where it happened. How many people actually are known to be able to recover from that type of exposures?
Well, I think it's very rare.
Very rare. I would think
this was quite a long time ago. When I was diagnosed was in 1998. So there may be 15 years of advancements in treatments for this. But at that time, my oncologist, and I consulted several because I still had that journalistic need to know and the investigative reporter in me, the consensus was that I would not live for 2 years, that when you have stage 4 oropharyngeal carcinoma metastasized or your lymphatic system, that really can't treat that because they would have to radiate your whole body to kill all the cancer in your lymphatic system. That, of course, would kill the organism called you. So very slim chances at the time.
And that's the point I really want to emphasize for everyone who's listening, that here you were not only dealing with all your back injuries and your pain and then this incurable cancer, everything that should have told the existing world that there was no way you would ever become whole again. And here you are, totally whole. And, it's almost it seems like a miracle, but it is not a miracle. It is the possibility that is available to anyone who is dealing with any crisis in their lives. And we don't want to just limit it to the physical crisis, because it was also an emotional and spiritual crisis for you. You were in a place of being so emotionally shut down and wounded and disconnected that was part of your healing as well. And here you are.
And I think being that way was set a fertile field for cancer and other illness to arise, because when the mind is out of balance, the body suffers as well. And while the story sounds miraculous, I have now, over the past 10 years in working with others in healing, I have seen people overcome remarkable things. I have seen other stage 4 cancer patients completely heal. Not everyone, but I have seen people do this. I have seen people who were in line for a heart transplant overcome their heart disease. I've seen many, many people overcome diabetes and stress and tension and autoimmune disorders. It's remarkable what people can do when they access their inner power and make a shift in their lives and start to take charge of their healing process, because the body wants to heal. And all we have to do is facilitate that process, and miracles can happen.
And that's what we're going to explore in more depth when we come back from our break. We are having a very fascinating, inspirational talk with Bava Ram, who has come through amazing challenges in his life and is here to help bring more light and inspiration into the world. So don't go away. This is Dr. Cheryl Silman. You are listening to What Women Must Know, and we will be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. This is Dr. Cheryl Silman. You are listening to What Women Must Know. And today we are talking to Bava Ram, the author of the book Warrior Pose, How Yoga Literally Saved My Life. And Bava Ram is the founder of Deep Yoga, a school of healing arts dedicated to igniting your inherent inner power for healing, personal growth, and self-transformation. And I'd just like to repeat a really wonderful phrase that's on Bava Ram's website that I love. And here's what it says. You have an inherent power to achieve profound self-healing, overcome life's greatest challenges, find your authentic voice, live from your heart, and manifest your fullest potential. And that really is the journey for each of us as we walk through our life. And certainly, Bava Ram, you have been a great inspiration for so many people. So, in this half of the show, I'd like you to share some of the learnings that you've gained along the way in your work and in your work now with Deep Yoga, because you've created an amazing healing center based on yoga and Ayurvedic tradition. You attract a huge gathering of students. You travel over the world. Your life is really taking on its fullest purpose. And I know you have a lot to share with people based on everything you've been learning along the way and tapping into those places of wisdom. So what do you say to people who are in that place of despair, who are dealing with chronic conditions of whatever sort, that can support them to realize there are possibilities that they can't even imagine, but that are there waiting for them if they just open themselves to that imagining?
Well, each person is different. And whenever I'm talking with somebody as a new client and getting to know them and hearing the specifics of their story, and more importantly, perhaps how they present their case and how they're reacting to it, I look for something in the story that they are telling me, the experiences that they're sharing, that can show to them that they have some power. And then I try to use that to help give them a small victory. I may be working with someone and realize there's 10 things that they could do, major changes that they could make in their life. And if they did them all, they would really get on a new path towards going where they want to go. But those 10 things all at once are likely to overwhelm them or may create too much resistance and then set them up for a failure. And when we're suffering, we already have an inner fear and a lowered self-esteem and a lack of belief in ourselves. And the last thing that I want to do as someone who is helping inspire people to their own healing power is to set them up for a failure. So I look for ways to find a little victory. For instance, I've had clients that are suffering, let's say, with back pain or heart disease, who tell me that they have been in AA for 15 years and have been sober for 15 years. And I'll share with them at that point how much I truly and honestly admire that, because what incredible power you have to overcome alcoholism. How amazing is that? And I get them to see that they have that power and that it doesn't just have to be applied or isolated to alcohol. They have that power to take charge of their lives. And oftentimes that creates an aha moment where people realize, yes, I have done some great things in the past. Yes, I have overcome some daunting challenges in my life in the past. I do have that capacity. And then I look for ways to start small victories. Can you do 5 minutes every morning of just lying down in stillness and silence and breathing deeply and fully and repeating something silently, I am strong and healthy and calm and relaxed? And they might say, yes, I can do that for 5 minutes every day, whereas an hour-long yoga program might be overwhelming for someone, especially to do on their own. And after a week or two of doing that, they do feel a greater sense of relaxation and self-empowerment. They do start to hear their inner voice a little more in that 5 minutes of stillness. And then we can add something else, another modality, maybe expand that or start addressing something, not just say you need to become a complete organic vegetarian overnight when you have been on the Western diet with junk food and heavy meat diet and a lot of additives for 30 or 40 years. Can you just maybe stop soda pop and use natural juice instead? And once that takes and you feel some power, maybe we can move to the next thing and eliminate junk food and move just towards more natural food. And then we look at the portions and a whole host of things. So again, I believe the key is small victories, getting people to see the power they already have, how they perhaps have expressed it in the past in other ways, and how they might bring that same power into their healing journey. And I use my story. I really feel like I'm not ever saying, gee, look at me, I did something pretty special. My message is, if somebody is dark and broken and drugged and drunk and angry and filled with self-pity as I was, can do this, and dying of cancer and with a brokenness, my gosh, what's your capacity?
Right. No excuse. And that's why your personal story is so powerful as a metaphor for people to understand that when all is lost, when you're at the dead end and you're the most broken and the most drugged and the most self-hating, there is the possibility to find the light within yourself again.
And that suffering is your catalyst.
It's right.
The whole universe calling on you to wake up. I was, as I said in the beginning of our talk today, the classic alpha male, and so I was pretty thick and dense and resistant, so the universe had to break my back and take my career away and give me a failed surgery, and that wasn't enough, so they said, okay, how about stage 4 cancer? Are you ready to wake up yet? And I finally said, yes, I'm ready.
Yeah, yeah. Which means it's like ready to open to a greater power that you have that you are, that you are this greater power that is able to heal anything, this infinite place of all possibilities where nothing cannot be achieved. I mean, that we hear about that all the time. It's used in all spiritual traditions. We are unlimited divine beings. You can heal anything and create the reality you want. Those are all great words. But each of us, I guess, has to find that truth for ourselves. And some of us have to, you know, have the thumbscrews really pulled on tight to get to that place where we render.
And, you know, looking back, Doctor, I came to some realizations about some of the things that I witnessed as a war correspondent, and some realizations about the power of love and the power of the divine feminine. And I know that your show is for what women must know. And my message would be, women, we need you to take over the world. We men have been doing it for about 10,000 years, and it hasn't gone so well, has it? We've had so many wars and so much suffering. So what I found when I was in that refugee camp on the border of Afghanistan and Pakistan in 1986, and that little boy burned all over his body by napalm dropped from Soviet MiGs on his village up in the mountains, was lying there shivering next to death. I interviewed the Pakistani doctor who was in that terrible refugee hospital, and in one side of the hospital were all the war wounded Afghans, and they were horrible wounds. People missing arms and legs, faces filled with shrapnel, burns all over their bodies. And in another portion were Pakistani mercenaries, fighters who were going to fight the Soviets for money. And at the bedside of every Afghan was a relative sitting there 24/7. Often just saying prayers or just touching them or getting them a glass of water. The bedside of the Pakistanis, there was no one of the mercenary fighters. The doctor said to me on camera at the time how he was mystified that these Afghans seemed to heal from these terrible wounds that these Pakistani mercenaries often succumbed to and died. And it wasn't until later in my little very comfortable cave in my home where I was doing all of my yogic practices that I finally got it. Those people who were healing more had a direct experience of love at their bedside. And love is a feminine energy. It is Mother Earth who loves us and nurtures us. It is all of the mothers of the world who bring life forth and nurture us. And it's that loving energy that really, to me, is the essence of what higher power is. That is the essence of true medicine. Because to heal, first we have to love our body so much as the temple of our spirit that we decide only to put organic and real food from Mother Earth inside of it and no longer poison it with factory farm and factory processed foods made for profit that are filled with poison. We have to love our body and give it Mother Nature's love. We have to love our emotional body and let go of our anger and our fear and our self-absorption and our egos and our desire to control everything and all of our dramas. We have to let that go and learn to give ourselves these feminine powers of compassion and forgiveness, of gratitude and acceptance and loving kindness. And when we come home to this what I call a divine feminine energy, amazing healing begins to happen.
Oh, that's so profound. And, you know, I wanted to ask you one other thing. So for those listening who are in need or in pain, suffering in some way, at home, you know, not able to come to your center, not able at this point to have a consultation with you, where do people begin this journey of healing for themselves? What would you advise them?
Well, I would advise that they reach out and learn something more about mind-body medicine, that they learn something more about the deeper practices of yoga and Ayurveda. But most importantly, that they take time to slow down and listen to their own inner wisdom, because you already know so much. And this very complex science of yoga and equally complex science of Ayurveda, they are so elegant because their essence is common sense. Their essence is just an elegant and simple common sense, and we all know it. We know when we're eating bad food. We know when we're eating too much food. We know when we're lying on the couch too much watching the tube rather than out in nature taking a walk. We know these things. And if we can just listen to that inner voice, and how many times have you had a loved one who smoked cigarettes or a friend, and you have said to them, gee, you know, that's really not good for you. And the first thing they say in response is, I know. Well, they know. Their inner voice tells them, this is really dumb that I'm smoking these cigarettes because I'm going to give myself lung cancer. But they don't act on that inner wisdom. And wisdom is doing. Knowing doesn't mean very much if we're not doing something about it. So I would advise everybody, listen to your inner voice. There's probably already a host of things you know that you could be doing differently that would facilitate your healing journey. And so look inside yourself as your first place. Look inside yourself and ask, how can I facilitate my own healing journey? What simple steps can I take that might begin to empower me? What little shifts can I make that I have known for days or weeks or months or years that I really need to do? How can I shift that knowing to doing, to wisdom, and see what unfolds if you begin to do that?
And I'd also like you to share with people about restorative yoga, because that's how you started. Here you were in pain all the time, you know, dealing with a botched back surgery. It would have appeared that yoga would be an impossibility for you. So talk a little bit about restorative yoga in the few minutes we have left.
Well, true restorative yoga is all about relaxation. It's about learning to release muscular tension, learning to breathe more deeply, which oxygenates and purifies and detoxifies the body and also creates a lot of emotional healing, learning to let go and learning to come more into the present moment. And as one progresses in restorative and therapeutic yoga, then the postures begin to address more aches and pains or create more strength and balance and flexibility. But all healing starts with deep relaxation and acceptance. We know when an animal is wounded, what does it do? It doesn't run to the shopping mall or bring out its list of things it has to do or keep working 10 hours a day. It crawls into a cave and it holds still. And it creates the possibility for healing to occur. So rest and relaxation are essential, and we can really find those in restorative yoga. Rest and relaxation aren't sitting there watching the television, which just agitates us and creates a fight-or-flight response in our body and in neurochemistry that creates tension and diminishes our immune system and our digestive function. It's truly coming into the present moment and resting and restoring. And these postures are very, very helpful to release emotional and physical tension. And then slowly go from there and slowly allow things to unfold and progress from there into more active postures, but never rushing or hurrying. We injure ourselves in yoga just like we injure ourselves in any other walk of life when we're pushing ahead too far, too fast, and trying to get to some ego-based goal, and not just staying soft and slow and letting things unfold organically.
Well, I think those are great words of wisdom, because just being more mindful of the breath will open up profound healing possibilities within our bodies.
Mm-hmm. It's really remarkable. All you have to do is close your eyes and deepen your breath through your nose and let it be long and full and slow and smooth, and listen to its whisper and repeat something like, I am healing myself, or I am letting go. I am healing myself, I am letting go. And just that alone, 5 or 10 minutes a day, 2 or 3 times a day, can start to shift our emotional and our physical wellness to a better place.
I really understand that, because as a psychotherapist in my days as a psychotherapist, my primary modality actually was the breath. and getting people to breathe deeply and fully, and that would release emotional pain and stress and just opened up to insights. It was so profound. It sounds really simple, which in a sense it is, but on the other hand, it's very deep and very profound. And we carry this healing power within us everywhere we go, every moment of the day. We just have to be mindful. I know the whole tradition of yoga is based on understanding and working with that healing power through the breath as well.
And there are no side effects. You don't have to go to a pharmacy or have a prescription, and it doesn't cost any money.
It just takes the willingness to take the time to give to ourselves.
It takes believing in yourself and making an effort.
So before we end this very inspirational, fascinating conversation during the past hour, what is the best website? Let's give your website again, and I think we have some time just to talk a little bit about the programs you offer, because you have opened up a center. I don't know how long that's been part of your journey, so you can, I guess, fill us in on that side of things.
Sure, I'd be happy to share. My personal website is bhavaram.com. That's B-H-A-V as in Victor, A-R-A-M.com. And the website for Deep Yoga is deepyoga.com. Deep Yoga School of Healing Arts is run by my wife, Laura Plum, and I, and in conjunction with a wonderful yoga studio in San Diego called Ginseng Yoga Studio, where we are home-based. And we hold all sorts of retreats and special trainings that we call Mastery of Life trainings. We see private clients. My wife does incredible online 20-day detoxes with groups that register through the programs that can be found on Deep Yoga. We also do see private clients as well, either via telephone consultation or in our home offices. We live in Coronado, California. It's a little island in San Diego Bay. And that's what we do. We teach in India as well. We teach yoga and Ayurveda there and lead an annual retreat.
Well, this has been such a pleasure and an honor to speak with you. I absolutely recommend everyone pick up a copy of your latest book, Warrior Pose, How Yoga Literally Saved My Life. I think everyone will be thoroughly inspired to journey on in their lives with new possibilities and open to the healing power that exists within each of us. And I certainly want to wish you all the best on your ongoing healing journey and enjoying the adventure of life.
Thank you so much, Doctor. It's so kind of you to have me on your show today. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure as well for me. Thank you so much. All the best, Bhavaram.
All the best.
Bye for now. And for all of you listening, all the best to you as well. And remember to always honor the wisdom of yourself. Bye for now.